God, we exalt you, we praise you, and we thank you. That no matter where we're coming from, no matter how low we have sunk, the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, of things on earth and things under the earth. All things, all people will bow down. Doesn't matter how high we've exalted the things of this world, they'll be brought low. And Jesus will be exalted. Every stronghold that has held us back has already been swallowed up in victory in Jesus Christ on Calvary. And there will come a day face to face where every stronghold will be permanently broken as we see you face to face. We're so grateful for your word and the privilege we have now as we worship to be able to open your word and for you to speak to our hearts. And we pray that the word of God would fall on fertile soil today and that we would be listening with spiritual ears to hear what you have to say to us. And we'll give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Houston, we got a problem. Better yet, Valley View, we got a problem. I read some stunning news from Ed Stetzer. He is a church researcher. And I read, quote, "Among Protestant churchgoers who believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, we found that most people feel a responsibility to share the gospel, and that most even feel comfortable doing so, but very few actually do it. In our study, we found that 85% of all believers agree that they have a responsibility to share the gospel with unbelievers. I would like to talk to the other 15%. I'm like, what world are they living in? And that 69% of those same people feel comfortable sharing their faith. However, only 25% of them look for ways to share the gospel, and only 27% of them intentionally build friendships with unbelievers in order to do so." I mean, if we're going to be disciples that make disciples like we're commanded to do by Jesus, I believe we're going to have to start following the example of Jesus about how we make disciples. It does no good for me. I can preach from now to Jesus comes on, we're called to be a disciple and called to make a disciple, until you decide, I'm put here on earth to be a disciple, making disciples. We're never going to do anything any different. And so let me challenge you today to follow the example of Jesus Christ when it comes to being intentionally relational. This morning at the 9 o'clock service, we had the perfect example. I would have rebaptized her all over again just for you to see. But we had a girl from China. She and her husband both working on their doctorate degree at the university. And her name is Young, and she came 2 years ago. Ray and Ann Martin, in their 60s, moved next door to this young couple. They're expecting their first child. And they became kind of like their American parents, if you will. 2 years later, Young followed the Lord in believers' baptism, because week after week as they started coming to our church, her husband had already gotten saved at the Chinese mission at First Baptist Church. And now his wife, they both speak very good English. I complimented them about how good of English they spoke, and they says, "We can only do conversation." I went, "That's called communicating. That's what I'm talking about. That's really good. You're good at communicating." And it's just amazing. And Ray and Ann stood with Young's husband behind them in the baptismal pool this morning as she followed the Lord in believer's baptism, brought up in a culture totally oblivious to Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. I'm telling you, if it were not for Ray and Ann being intentional about forging a relationship, Young would be lost to this day. But praise God, she's not lost. She's born again. William Thomas sits right there where Stan sits every Sunday. And they drive 30, 40 miles to church, him and Mary, every Sunday. And William has started a mission at a high school in Greensboro. It's an all-white private school. William is black. But he don't hold it against them that they're white. Instead, he has started an FCA down there. 2 weeks ago, Stan Gray preached down there. 4 kids gave their heart to Christ. Last Wednesday night, William texts me and says, "Brother Billy, I'm not going to be at church tonight. We got that FCA thing again." And Drew preached. And 8 people got saved. I mean, that's ridiculous. This week, Chad White's going to preach, so nobody's getting saved. But I'm kidding. God only knows. What I'm saying is it's just awesome that because of one man being intentional about how God opened the door for him to be able to minister to these athletes, and they're giving their heart to Christ. You got to be intentional about finding people. You know, when the average church member thinks that by answering yes to the question, are we a friendly church? If I were to ask you that, you'd probably say yes. I hope you would say yes. And that we're functioning well in the area of being intentionally relational because we're a friendly church. But the fact of the matter is, most churches that describe themselves as friendly churches describe themselves that way because they're friendly to each other. But God forbid somebody from the outside that you don't know comes in and sits by you for a month. I've got my son's in-laws. They've been coming to church here for over 5 years. On Sunday morning, they're not here today. They come to the 9 o'clock service. They're not here today, but they live out of town, but they come up every weekend because of that grandbaby. They've even bought a home in Tuscaloosa for the weekends. True story. They've been right there for 5 years. You know how many times they've been invited to Bible study while in church? Never. Never. Oh, we're a friendly church. Unless it's going to require you to get out of your comfort zone and actually invite somebody to go eat, or invite somebody to your Bible study group, or invite somebody to church, or best yet, invite somebody to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. If we're going to be driven by our purpose statement to reach and teach, we had better learn how to be friendly to those that we're trying to reach, to those that we don't know, to those that may be different than us. We got to become very intentional, inviting them to our three-pronged process. Any place you can get into this wheel at any place. Come to worship. We ought to be friendly and receive them. Come to Bible study. We ought to be friendly and encourage them to get in a small group so they can get to know people and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it all starts with our being intentional. So I want us to learn from the Master as he shows us how to be relational as we strive to be disciples. One of my favorite stories in the Bible as a little kid was about this wee little man named Zacchaeus. I figure he's about this tall. Now, he probably is about 5 foot, give or take. And in verse 1 of Luke chapter 19, we read this great story. Watch Jesus, because this is how, four key words I want to share with you today about how you can be intentionally relational. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter. It was a Baptist crowd. "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody," we can just replace "if" there with "since." "And since I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." He's a part of the family of God. He's been engrafted in to the family of God. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Four key words this morning of how to be a disciple, making a disciple. I don't know how many times I can tell you this and make it any clearer. You are put here on this planet for two reasons. Two reasons, and they go together. Number one, you are put here on this earth to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ who bears much fruit because you know the Word of God and you believe the Word of God. So you're called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ for the sake of your children, for the sake of your neighbors, for the sake of your lost co-workers. You're called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Number two, you're called to make disciples. Well, how do you make disciples? Four key words for making disciples. Number one word is availability. You got to be available. Verse 1 says that Jesus was just passing through Jericho. But look down at verse 5. When he reached the spot. Not just some general area, the spot. It was the place. He had a divine appointment with this man named Zacchaeus. It was the exact spot where he would call Zacchaeus by name. Have you ever noticed that Jesus was always available? And I know this sounds foundational and fundamental, but if you're not available for Jesus to use, trust me on this one, he won't use you. There has to be some intentionality about being at the right spot at the right time if you're going to be used of God. I mean, think about it. You can't invite somebody to come to church if you don't go to church. You can't invite somebody to join you in your Bible study if you don't go to Bible study. You can't invite somebody to come to your small group if you're not in a small group. This isn't rocket science. You've got to make yourself available to be used by God. Jesus was always available. Have you ever noticed that? With the woman with the issue of blood, she'd been sick for 12 years. She had suffered with this internal bleeding, and she'd been to all the doctors, but she heard about this man, Jesus. The crowds are lining the streets, and everybody's pushing her away, but she falls to her knees, and she just touches the hem of his garment, trying not to be recognized. But Jesus felt that healing virtue leave him, and he stopped, and he said, "Who touched me?" Made himself available to meet the deeper need of her life. Not just for physical cleansing, but for spiritual cleansing. And he said, "Today, your faith has made you whole." Not just physically, but spiritually. Always available. Blind Bartimaeus, same size crowd. Bartimaeus, blind from birth, as he hears Jesus walking through the crowd that day. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The Bible says the disciples were saying, "Shut up. Shh. He ain't got time for you." Jesus stopped and said, "Bring him to me." And the first thing Bartimaeus ever saw in his life was the face of the Son of Man, because Jesus made himself available. We see it over and over again in almost every Bible story. The widow of Nain, the funeral procession that was interrupted. I mean, have you ever thought about if Jesus wasn't there that day, she'd have buried her son. But Jesus interrupted the funeral, raised the dead boy to life, and presented him to his mother alive. That's pretty good stuff. That's a crazy story. That's an unbelievable story. All because Jesus made himself available. Just like to the hungry crowd on the hillside, like the thief on the cross. "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And even to this tax collector who had found himself up in a tree looking for the answers of life, Jesus was available. You know, we have specifically programmed our church for the purpose of giving you an opportunity to be intentional about forging relationships. We don't have church on Sunday night just so you can have Sundays off. We tried, and our goal is to give you some gray space to be able to be intentional about a small group. Are intentional about forging a relationship with somebody so you can intentionally make friends with people that need Jesus, that need a church, that need the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts and in their lives. That's why we do what we do. You got to be intentional. So today, say to the Lord, "Use me. Jesus, I am making myself available to be used by you." There's a second word. Not only is there availability, the second word is awareness. Awareness. Man, I'm telling you, Jesus has beat me over the head with this awareness thing. It never ceases to amaze me. I can preach it, I can teach it, I can even pray it. And after the fact, I'll be like, "Man, I had a perfect opportunity. Why didn't I share with them? Why didn't I ask them? Am I embarrassed? Am I in that big of a hurry? Why didn't I share with that person that asked me a question? Why didn't I share with them?" You got to be aware. In the end of verse 5, it says, "When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately.'" Isn't it interesting? Of all the people that lined the streets that day, I mean, there were throngs of people. Some were shouting. Some were praising, some were jeering for sure. But of all the people on that parade route that day, I find it especially interesting that Jesus was drawn to the one man with a hole in his heart who needed Jesus, who needed a Savior, who needed the answer to life. He was keenly aware of this man hanging out in a tree that he needed more than he even knew. Verse 2 and 3 shows us the reaction of the modern church to many that come to church that need Jesus, that are searching for answers, looking for love, trying to find the answers to life. Look at the response of many. It says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Those go together. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Well, why is that? I mean, you would think he could have inched his way up. You know why he couldn't get to the front? Because he was a rich man, and the reason he was a rich man is because he was a tax collector. Let me explain to you how the taxes worked in Israel at that time. They were under Roman rule, and so Rome would hire Israelites to collect their taxes. And everything that they got above what was owed to Rome, let's say 8%, if they got 20%, they kept the 12. They paid Rome, and then that's how he got rich. And so there's a reason it is specified that Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. Not only did he get what he ripped off, he got what all of his cronies would rip off. He got a cut of all of it. He was a very wealthy man. But everybody knew that he was a cheat. Everybody knew that he had ripped them off. And so when he was trying to get through to the front of the line, they just locked arms and said, "Hey, buddy, not here." And I'm afraid that's the way a lot of church folks are. The people that need Jesus the most, we push to the side. We are not aware of the greater need that they have. And we chew them up and we size them up and we look at the flaws in their life rather than the hole in their heart and their need for a Savior. Somebody will come to church, "Oh, well, she's got a lot of nerve dressing like that." Well, she may have if she knows Jesus and she's been discipled about what Christian modesty should look like. But what are you going to do with a woman who don't know any better, that's just looking for the answers of life? Chew them up and spit them out? An eternity separated from God because we're unaware, oblivious to the need of their heart? Well, this crowd that day wouldn't let old Shorty to the front of the line. They just locked arms. I want you to hear me. If we ever get to the point that we don't allow for the Spirit of God to change a person's heart, or if we fail to believe that Jesus can change the hearts of the lost people in this community, man, we need to just go on and board up the doors. We're currently striving to get our lighting fixed. We want to shine the light on our church at night. It's kind of dark out there. And I noticed just the other night, Stephen, congratulations, we got a light out on this parking lot right out here. And there's been a spotlight. I don't think they installed it. I think they just maybe put a bulb in it. And it shines right on the church now where it says Valley View Baptist Church. And that's cool. And we want to improve our lighting all the way around. For what? As an advertisement that if you come here, we don't care? I mean, it would be better to stay in the dark. In fact, turn the power off, board up the doors, and let's go to the house. Jesus has called us not only to be available, but to be aware of the needs that people have all around us. There may be people in your own family that have the need for a Savior. There may be people in your sphere of influence, in your circle of friends, that are separated from the church. They may claim to know Jesus, but they're unchurched, and they don't bear the fruit of the gospel. Man, rather than judging them and just assuming that they're okay with God, how about pouring into them the life of Jesus Christ? I got to tell you, because I can't get away from it this week. There's a girl that Mary Jack and I are very close to. She's Mary Jack's home health nurse. We've had her for 6-7 years. She's been to church here. And she said to me, "Brother Billy, man, I want you to really pray for my dad. He coded the other night. He's in ICU. And she said, just if you and Mary Jack would just pray." I said, "Absolutely, we're praying." Well, I was up at the hospital, so I went up there. I went into ICU room 103. I went into his room, and he's sitting up there. We're talking. I joked around with him a little bit. He seemed to be doing great. Has been unconscious ever since I left his room. And every time I hear that family talking about, pray for him, it don't look good. even as I stand here and speak to you today, I'm reminded of the fact that I had a clear opportunity to share with him, or to at least ask him, do you know Jesus? All the peripheral things says that he does. But it wouldn't have cost me a penny to ask. Instead, I prayed with him, did all the pastoral things, but I never took care of the most important thing. Listen, the reason I share that story with you, if I, Billy Joy, the pastor of Valley View Baptist Church, can miss the opportunities, fail to be aware of the people God puts right in my path, I think you probably can miss the same opportunities. We've got to have availability. We've got to have awareness. But then we've got to have, and this is critical because the other two don't make any difference if you don't have this one. And we're terrible at this. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Hey, Alabama really played great yesterday. I'm not trying to make you feel bad about that and come down off of your high. But can I say that? I know you're already down there. But be that as it may. This is critical. And I'm not being critical of you. I want to encourage you. Acceptance is the word. We've got to accept people. Well, why? Where do we get off on this thing? Like, I hear people talk all the time. You know, somebody can commit adultery. Well, we need to witness to that guy. Somebody can rob the bank. Well, we need to pray for them. Somebody can be a homosexual. Well, that's appalling. Well, God's appalled by you and your sin. We've got to accept people no matter where they are, what station in life they are. We've got to receive them with the love of Christ. Look at Jesus here. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the church people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now, there are two approaches here demonstrated for us as to how we can respond to those outside the kingdom of God looking in. Two approaches that we see demonstrated for us here. The first approach is the one we need to follow, and that's the example of Jesus himself. Jesus called Zacchaeus by his name. He did not accept Zacchaeus because he knew him. No, that's not the deal. Jesus knew Zacchaeus because he had already accepted him. I find it interesting, too, that Jesus did not say, Zacchaeus, come down. I want you to go to church with me. What did he say? This isn't just a plug for small group, but it's pretty strong that Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down here. Man, I'm going to your house. We're going home together, brother. Because it's in the home where Jesus could see the real need of Zacchaeus' heart. And you see, not only did Zacchaeus get saved, his whole family got saved. Jesus accepted him just like he was. I mean, this is the environment where relationships can flourish, where Jesus can be found, where growth can occur. And we need to go where people live, and we need to create an environment in here where people feel at home. In other words, we've got to accept the sinner and the saint, the holy and the horrible, the rich and the poor, the white and the black, and everything in between. That was Jesus. I mean, he just accepted people right where they were. It didn't matter. To the harlot he met at the well, been married five times, was living with a man that she wasn't even married to. Whew, I'd be shying away from that. No, he met her at the spot. What did he say to his disciples on the way through Samaria? I must needs go through Samaria. He knew he was going to meet, had a divine appointment with that very woman. Not only did he forgive her, not only did she receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, Jesus made her a missionary to that whole town. But no, we put all these rules and guidelines over God's rules and guidelines. Can I say something to you about your rules and guidelines? God's grace is greater. God's grace is sufficient to cover the multitude of your sins and everybody you meet. But you've got to accept people where they are. There's an old saying, and I love it. You know, Jesus loves you just the way you are. Just the way you come to him. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come. He loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. If we're going to be the arms and the feet and the eyes and the ears of Jesus Christ, we've got to love people and accept people just like they are. And love them enough to show them what being a disciple of Jesus Christ is all about. That's Jesus's approach. But then there is the approach of most others, a lot of church people. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He is going to be the guest of a sinner." I love that word mutter. It comes from the Greek word diagogutso. Diagogutso. And we get the word agony from it. All the people began to agonize. "Oh my goodness! This holy man, this teacher, is going to the home of a sinner. What will we do?" That's the way a lot of people look at it. It literally is the sound of disharmony. You know what? Does this work? It's not on. It'll work. Hey, let me impress y'all. Y'all didn't know I could do this, did you? Okay, that's a chord. Where's Jennifer? You hear that chord? That's harmony. You can sing harmony to that. That's agony. Got it? That's that word right there. And that's what it sounds like to God when we're out there trying to see people come to know Jesus, and we're sitting there in the judgment seat, sizing them up, chewing them out, and spitting them out. That's mutter. See, our love for people is demonstrated in the way we pray for the lost. It's demonstrated in the way we invite the unchurched. It's demonstrated in the way we assimilate the guests that do come. It's demonstrated in the way we encourage those that fall away. It's demonstrated in the way that we love those that are distant from the church. We got to be available. We got to be aware. We got to be accepting. But there's a last word, and I promise you, this is the one that's key. If you're going to start praying, pray backwards. Don't say, "God, make me available." Don't say, "God, make me more aware." Don't do that. Start right here. "God, let me abandon my will for your will." You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in John, abandonment. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." See, Jesus abandoned. He was the living Son of God. He could walk on water. He could make the blind see, the lame to walk. And a man with a hole in his heart that didn't know Jesus, that needed a Savior, he could save him too. To the point that he wanted to give everything that he had back to the Lord. Pretty awesome. Jesus said in John 4:34 that "my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That's the words of Jesus, but I would suggest to you that's a good word for you. That the goal of your heart, the goal of your life would to be to do the will of your Father. Abandoned of your own will, of your own desire. You will never be aware. You'll never be accepting. You will never be anything God wants you to be until you, first of all, abandon your own desire to be everything God wants you to be. That is the mark of a disciple. The beautiful picture of abandonment is found right here in this beautiful story of Zacchaeus. But you know the most beautiful picture of abandonment of all time, no doubt, not even anything else close? Oh, we could talk about blind Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus and the woman at the well and all of those examples that where Jesus abandoned his own desire to meet the needs of people. But can I make it very personal to you today about abandonment? The real picture of abandonment in this passage of Scripture today is Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Because he abandoned his own desire. "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thy will be done." As his sweat became as drops of blood there in Calvary. And because he was aware of your need for a Savior and that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He was aware. He made himself available and he went to the cross and he paid the price just for you because he accepted you just the way you were. That's abandonment. That's the love that the Father has for you. Jesus told us to go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And if you ever feel like you're alone on an island in that regard, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age," Jesus is right there with us to help us be a disciple and to help us make a disciple. Would you accept that challenge? Would you pray that prayer and start with, God, I abandon my desire, my will, my way for your way, and then let God allow you to be the disciple he wants you to be, that we can make disciples and have a concern for those that are lost in the trees of life, just looking for the answers. God, we love you. Thank you for your word, the truth of it, and we pray that you'd speak to hearts today. And Father, that you would allow us to respond in a way that would just enable us and empower us to be concerned, to be intentional. God, we may not even know anybody right off the top of our head of somebody that we can reach out to, but somebody we can intentionally get to know, maybe just by doing a good deed, maybe just by being a neighbor, just by being a friend at work. But our intent, our purpose, is that somehow, some way, you would crack the door of opportunity that we might be able to share about Jesus. If they don't know Jesus, that they could meet the Savior. If they're unchurched, that they could come and find a place of acceptance here. But Father, that you would just give us a burning desire to reach people for Christ. That's what we were created for. We thank you for your example. We thank you for saving us. And I pray, Father, that because we're saved, because we've experienced the love of the Savior, that we would demonstrate that same love to those that stand in need, those that are hanging out in the trees of life, looking for the answers, looking for a Savior. And we've got the answer. Let us be aware. Let us be accepting. Let us be available. Let us abandon our own desires for your will. We'll give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.